Blog Talk Radio.
Guest in the studio, and I'm just excited. You're soon. For those who may have not seen the flyer and you're just tuning in, you know, because you tune in every Thursday, I have a special guest, and soon I'm going to introduce that guest. I'm calling him a guest host. But, again, we're doing something a little different. And we're going to take tonight really easy. We're just going to have a dialogue, and we do have a direction in mind that we will be going on tonight. And I think it's going to bless each and every one of you that have tuned in on tonight. I always say I don't think anyone's here by accident. When you tune in, I believe you're tuning in because God has a divine order and plan that he has you to tune in to the broadcast on Thursdays. Amen. So, again, welcome on tonight. I want to take the time right now to introduce to some and present to others my beloved son, Derek Elijah, is joining me in the studio on tonight, and he's going to be guest hosting with me. We were having a discussion today, and one of the things that, you know, I get in this quiet time where I'm just really getting still before the Lord and allowing the Lord to just guide me on what he would have. You know, sometimes he gives me something that I'm working on for weeks to present on Thursdays, and sometimes he doesn't give me an answer how much I'm seeking, how much I'm not. And sometimes he won't give me what he has prepared until the 12th hour, and then he just gives me everything that I need to present it to you all. And so it's actually new to me too when he does that, because oftentimes it's something that really ministers to myself first before it ministers to you all. So tonight I was talking with Darius, and I was just like, man, I'm stuck. You know, I'm here, I'm stuck, and I'm really not sure what direction God wants me to go in. I'm not sure what it is that he would have for his people on tonight. And so we began to speak, and he went out, and he left me to my own, you know, to myself, and I stayed in my quiet time, and he came back, and he began to talk about a man in the Bible, and he began to share the story in detail. He wasn't reading from the Bible. He wasn't reading from a scripture, but he began to tell the story of this man. And I thought, I said, I believe that you're supposed to be on the show tonight. So we're here tonight. We're going to ask you to bear with us. Again, we're doing something a little different. We're doing something out of the box. And so just hang in there with us, because I believe that even though it's out of the box, even though it may seem you know, a little different. It is different. I want you to hang in there, because it is something. We're getting ready to lay some groundwork. And so I'm going to have Darius begin the groundwork that we're going to use for tonight's show. And tonight's show is entitled, Don't Let Your Past Dictate Your Now. Don't Let Your Past Dictate Your Now. So that's the title for tonight's show, and he's gonna lay the groundwork for me. We're gonna go, and if you wanna follow along with us, this would be great. We're gonna go to Acts chapter 9, and we're gonna start at verse 1, and we're gonna be reading all the way down to we're gonna be reading from verse 1 to 22. I know this is the part where everybody gets bored and you get sleepy. But I'm going to ask you to hang in there with us, because I believe that once we lay the groundwork, as God begins to set the nuggets, there's a lot of nuggets in this story, so many nuggets. And it deals with, I know you're going to be able to relate to some of the nuggets. All of us have been through some Saul situations. All of us have been through Saul situations. Some of us are still going through those situations. Some of us can't go where God has called us to go. And we're going to get into that. But we're stuck. And we can't go where God is calling us to go, because we're still bound by our past. You know, whatever that past is, our past actions, our past mistakes, our past failures, our past relationship, our past employment. We are still bound by our past. Some of us may have not, some of us may have not graduated from high school. Some may not have went through and got their degree from college. Some of us may have not. You know, I'm just saying, it's so many things I can list that we as people have faced that has caused us to shrink and not move in what God has called us to do. So I'm going to step back. Again, we're going to come out of Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 1, and we're reading out of NIV.
All right. Thank you for bringing me on tonight. I can't wait to read this story and hope that this speaks to some people tonight.
Before we go any further, if by chance, if anyone is having an issue hearing us, please just dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you are having an issue potentially hearing us on tonight. I've heard that we've had some difficulties over the last couple of shows, that there's been some technical difficulties with some people hearing us. So if you cannot hear us, please dial 1 to let us know that you're having difficulties hearing us. Otherwise, we're going to move forward, and we're going to try to speak loud so that you can hear us. So again, Acts chapter 9, verse 1.
Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah.
Father, we thank you for your word on tonight, Lord. We invite you into the studio. Have your way, Father, as only you can. Give us revelation, knowledge of your word, Father. We're looking for a rhema word tonight, Lord, that will transform our lives, Father, that it will touch those areas that are dormant, Lord. Father, we just thank you right now for what you will be giving us on tonight, Lord, and we are ready to receive with great expectations. What thus says the Lord, in Jesus' name. Wow. So we just read about the story of Saul, and many people know the story that Saul was a great persecutor of the Christians in those days. He was, you know, killing them and taking them to prison. He hated. And I'm saying Christians, but here it says the way, followers of Christ. And he hated them. And but let's get some background, see, because Saul was a he was a very intelligent man. Saul knew the law. He had the Pharisees. He knew the law, but he was totally against Christians, and God had another plan for his life. And so one of the things we want to touch on tonight is the bullet point. As we read this story, it may sound familiar to many of you. Yes, you're not Saul. Yes, you didn't fall naturally off and go blind, but there have been some Damascus experiences that we have experienced on our journey on this Christian walk. Many of us have had some situations and things that take place in our own lives that caused us to turn away from maybe a direction or path that we were going in. The first point we want to bring out is God is not bound by our past. I want you to say that to yourself. God is not bound by our past. In other words, our past don't mean nothing for God. The plan that God has for our life, our past mistakes is not going to cause God not to do what God is going to do. So what God has purpose for your life, what God has purpose for my life, what God has purpose for our life is not, our past doesn't dictate that. So whoever you was in the past, whatever things you were doing in the past, whatever mistakes you was doing in the past, guess what? God is not bound. Now, when I heard past, I heard in my spirit somebody saying, you know, yeah, the past is way back. But guess what? That's not true. The past is, that was the past. So the past is very near, but it's the past. You think it, you do it, it's the past. You think it, you do it, it's the past. When you think it, it's the now. Once you do it, it's the past. So some of us had a past just moments past. And so there's things we've said or done in moments past that would make us feel like, oh, my God, God can't use me. How can God use me? I'm still stuck in the past. I keep being in the past. But God is not a God of the past. He's a God of the now. And even in the Hebrews 11:1, it tells us now faith is the substance. So God is a God of the now. And the only time that God could give you a dream, vision, or idea is now. And we come from a ministry, and we have been taught that now is defined as
0 to 5 seconds.
What is it?
0 to 5 seconds.
So now is 0 to 5 seconds. Now. So we have a new now every 0 to 5 seconds. Now. 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 So because we have a new now, God is dealing with us in the now. So it would be to our benefit to stay with in the now, not in the past. He already said he's not bound by our past. He don't care what you used to do. He don't care what you did do, but he's caring what you're doing now. What are you doing now? The second point is God makes provisions for the vision. So whatever the thing is that God has called you to in life, then guess what? He has already made preparations. He has already given provision for that thing. God has given you everything you need. When he rests on the seventh day, it was done on the seventh day. What do you mean, Coach D? What I mean is that he even gave you everything you need to do all that he's called you to do. He's not going to give you any more. He's not going to give you any less. He's giving you what he's giving you. And either you're going to use it or you're going to waste it. But he's giving you what he's giving you for what he's called you to do. He didn't just call you to do what you're doing. He called you. It was predestined. So from the foundation of the earth, he already called you to do what he's called you to do. He didn't just wake up today and say, Oh, you know what? By the way, I'm going to have Cody D do a show, have a network. Or, by the way, I'm going to have Derek ministering to his peers. I'm going to have this person start a business. Or I'm going to have this person start a ministry. God didn't just decide these things. These things were already decided from the foundation of the earth. So if I already know, if I have a dream, let's say God has dreams and visions when he created the earth. So if I had a dream and vision, I'm going to start preparing, right? So I'm going to start preparing. I'm going to start getting things together. I'm going to start putting things in place. You know, they said when I'm moving. I hear the Holy Spirit. When Noah built the ark, God gave Noah instructions. He told him he needed this, he needed that, he needed this, he needed so many of these. So he already began to give him instructions of everything he was going to need, even though God was going to provide everything he needed. But he still had to let Noah know, these are the things you're going to need to do what I called you to do. Amen? And so it's the same thing. He's got to let us know, but he's already given us the provision to do it. He's already given us the provision. See, Paul, just a perfect example of Saul. I'm sorry because his name has changed. But Saul, he was coming to Damascus to arrest him, some good old Christians. He was coming to arrest the Christians, and he came there, he fell off his horse, he was blinded. But see, even in that, God had already gave word to Ananias. God had already gave instructions to Ananias. So unbeknownst to Paul, God had a plan. God had a plan for Paul. He already knew what he was going to have Paul do. He already knew who he had so going to be surrounding Paul to help Paul. God already knows what he's going to have you to do. He already has identified the people that he's going to have to be there to help you. It may be new to you. It may not even be somebody you know yet. But God had already got a plan, just as he had a plan for Paul. He knew he was going to have to push scales on Paul's eyes. He knew he was going to have to shut Paul down for Paul to be still so Paul could hear from God. It's amazing in the story as I read it. What amazed me is that when God knocked him off the horse, Saul off the horse, and when Saul said to him, I'm just going back, he said in verse 4, chapter 9, he said, he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And what was Saul's response? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? He's already saying who he is, but he's still asking the question. You know what? We do that often. We're asking God the question already knowing who God is. We say we know he's a provider. We say we know he's a protector. We say we know he's a healer. And yet, we still ask him questions. Well, Lord, you know, can you heal me? Oh, my gosh, Lord, I'm sick. Heal me. Or we'll say, oh, Lord, how am I going to pay this bill? We're asking him the questions already knowing who he is. He is a provider. Why are we asking him that? You know, why are we in fear? Paul said, who are you, Lord? Already knowing it was the Lord, but asking the question. So going back to the point of God makes preparations. So Saul, he knew he was going to put scales on his eyes. He knew Saul was going to be blind. He knew Saul was going to be blind. He was going to keep him blind for a period of 3 days. But he also knew that he had somebody that was going to go and minister to Saul and heal Saul so Saul would be able to see again. But I'm sure even in that midst of time, even though the Bible doesn't speak it, but one of the things it does say is that he immediately started preaching in the synagogue. So we know that that happened immediately. But what happened in that 3 day period? I believe that there was some preparation taking place. I believe that God was ministering to Saul in such a way, you know, that he was ministering to him and that there was preparation taking place. I believe God was preparing Paul's heart. He was preparing his heart. He was having an encounter, a God encounter in that 3 days. And I'm sure there was things that God was ministering to the false spirit, because you remember when Ananias came and he brought back Saul's sight, he also was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And it doesn't say from the time that Ananias, healed his sight and filled him with, and that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't give an exact time, but it does say that he began to, it seems immediately to begin to minister and preach. It says once, he said at once means now, he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. So we know that it wasn't no long period of time. He didn't have to go through a four-year theologian course. He didn't have to go through the Bible Institute. He didn't have to go, he didn't have to sit for 3 years as someone. He didn't have to do all of that. And I'm not saying there's something wrong in doing that. But what I'm saying to you today is that when God calls you, you don't have to, when God said go, you need to go. And sometimes what happens is we allow men to dictate to us what God has already told us. When God has told you to go, he wants you to begin to minister his word. All of us are ministers of the gospel, whether you're licensed or not. We're all ministers. When you begin to tell people about the good news about Christ, you become a minister of the gospel. Amen. And so some of us, God has given us a call, and he told us, I want you to go out, and I want you to do this. I want you to teach. I want you, whatever the thing is that he told you to do. And then if you're not careful, you could be under a guidance that's misguided. You could be under a guidance that's misguided. Because I hear many people that's been in certain situations and certain organizations, I'm going to call them, where God has told them to do something, but because the leader of the organization that they submitted to ain't hearing from God, they done told them something else. Like, no, you need to sit for 2 years. You need to sit for 4 years. You need to be still. And out of obedience to the person, they've done that, but they've been disobedient to God because God said, go now. But God, I need to go to theologian school. Go now. See, because God is not caught up in school. He's not caught up in degrees. Degrees and stuff, I'm not, whoever you got, if you got a degree, if you got a doctorate, glory to God. Not down in that. I'm saying, don't get stuck if you don't. If you don't have that degree, don't get stuck. Because when God told you to do something, he's not bound by your past. And he makes provision for the vision that he's given to you. Because if you're connected to God, then the vision you get is God's vision. And he makes provision for that. Amen. God's call does not have to take years. It doesn't have to take years. When he's called you, then it does not have to take years for you to go out and do what he called you to do. There is not a 12-step program. Glory to God. You don't have to go through a 12-step program when God calls you. You just go, and you be obedient to the Holy Spirit as it tells you what to do. It does say you're going to study. You're studying and self-studying in the Word of God, spending time with God, spending time in God's Word, allowing the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, to begin to minister to you, to begin to give you revelation knowledge, to begin to give you, so that these words become rhema. And they're not logos, but they become rhema. And then he begins to give it to you. He begins to give you the revelation of what he's having you study. It says, study to show yourself approved. He begins to give you that revelation. So when you go out to speak to the people, guess what? You're just a vessel. He's not asking you to save nobody. He's not asking you to convert nobody. Because guess what? It's not us to do it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God in us. It's God using us. All we become is a vessel. We become the mouthpiece for God to use us to minister to the people. And, you know, and the preparation is, we do. We study. We study. We get into the Word. We be still. We get before the Lord. We allow the Lord to minister to us. And, you know, and as he begins to minister to us, he begins to feed us the things that he wants us to share with his people. And what we're supposed to do is remain humble. We're supposed to be constantly submitting ourselves before him so that he can use it. I'm not perfect. I am not perfect by no means. I have my day-to-day, I'm like Paul, I have some thorns in my side. I have my day-to-day challenges. I have my problems. And if I'm not careful because I have those problems, if I listen to people, if I listen to men, men are going to have me sit down. Men will have me stop. Man will have me jacked up. But see, this ain't about the messenger. The messenger is messed up. It's about the message that God allows me to speak, not because of me, but because of who he is that lives in me. Amen? And so he allows that. So it's nothing that Coach V could do. It's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that makes me special. It's nothing. It's only by the grace of God and me being willing to say yes. Me being willing to say, Lord, use me for your glory. And that's what he's saying to you. He's not, he don't care about your past. He don't care about what you don't have. I've heard people say, well, you know what? I'm going to get my life right with the Lord as soon as I stop drinking. Or I'm going to get my life together with the Lord as soon as I make some extra money, because the way I want to make this money, I know I'm pleasing to God. So I'm just going to, as soon as I can get to a certain dollar amount, then I'll give my life to the Lord. I've heard so many things of people saying why they haven't changed to the Lord yet, because guess what? They're trying to do it in their own power. Guess what? News alert. There's nothing that you could do to get you right. There's nothing that you could do to get you right, because it's only by his power that comes in and begins to transform us. We just have to be willing. We have to be willing vessels so that he can come in, that he can transform. Sometimes he'll put us in a situation where sometimes we won't be willing. I'm sure Saul wasn't willing initially. I'm sure Saul was one-minded. He was one-dimensional. All he wanted to do was get those followers of Christ. He wanted to get those people that was following the way, and he wanted to arrest them, and he wanted to persecute them. That's it. And so God had to do a little bit of something to get Paul's attention. And that happened on Damascus Road. Some of us have had our Damascus Road experience. Some of us, God had to put us on our back to get our attention. Some of us, God had to put in prison to get our attention. Some of us had to lose some stuff for God to get our attention. And some of us are losing stuff and still ain't recognizing that God's trying to get your attention. And so God is trying to get some of our attention. Some of us is on the Damascus Road, and we've been sitting on that road for years because we still don't recognize that God is trying to get our attention. Are you on the Damascus Road on tonight? Are you somebody that's been sitting on the Damascus Road? You walking around blind, and you done got so comfortable with being blind, you done learn to feel your way around, and you don't even realize it. You're blind, and you don't realize it, and you done got so comfortable with feeling your way around, you done got the blind stick that's helping you out, because you'd rather stay blind than acknowledge that God is trying to get your attention. Because once you acknowledge that God is trying to get your attention, then he'll begin to remove the scales off your eyes, and you'll begin to see what thus said the Lord. You won't hear anymore what he's saying. You will see what he's saying. And it's a difference between seeing what he's saying and hearing what he's saying. Because when you hear what he's saying, that's great. But when you see what he's saying, you could do it. When you see what he's saying, you could do it. See, just because you hear it doesn't mean you could do it. We all sat up in church for 20, 30, 40 years hearing and still not doing. But it was those who got the revelation knowledge, it was those that those light bulbs popped on that began to see what he was saying. And as you begin to see what he's saying, you begin to walk in what you see him saying. So when he tells you you could go start this business with no money, then you could do it. When he tells you to write a book, then you could do it. When he tells you to start a ministry, you could do it. Whatever it is that God tells you to do, then you could begin to do it. You could begin to do it because you could see what he said. And then you'll have to deal with a whole other bag of things, because then once you start seeing what he says, this is a true story. Once you start seeing what he says, then you got to come out of fear. Because you can't be afraid to do what you see. Because sometimes the things we see that God shows us seem so amazing, seem so large, that seem so big, that if we're not careful, we'll operate in a spirit of fear. We'll begin to get fearful, and we won't step out on what God's calling us, not because we didn't see what he said, but because now we're operating in fear because we don't think that we're able to do what he's called us to do. We don't say, and we're not. Guess what? In many cases, we are not able to do what he's called us to do because it's not us that's doing it. It's him. And when we get mixed up thinking it's something that we're doing versus what he's doing, then we get fear. That's a true story. I just gave my testimony because for years, everybody knows who's been following me, and you would think I'm doing the show and I'm teaching it because I'm teaching it, I'm supposed to be it, but I'm not. I'm learning just like you all. I'm learning, and God is working on me, and he's ministering to me. But God, anybody that's known me, that's been following me, I've had a book that I've written years ago. The book is complete. It's been complete. There's no reason that the book shouldn't have been on the market. And it was, I didn't understand it. There was different obstacles that came out. There was different boundaries that came out. But I thought it was just obstacles. I thought the enemy was trying to block me. I thought, you know, it was one thing after another. I lost money in certain things. But guess what? It was none of those things. It was my own fear. I got in my own way. And it was my own fear and the fear of rejection. The fear of is what if people don't like it? The fear of is what if people don't receive it? The fear is what if people criticize? But guess what? They criticized Jesus. They rejected Jesus. Amen? And so we got to stop. We got to put aside some of our fears to be able to step out to do what we see. So some of us, it's seeing what he's saying. But we're not stepping out. And then there's some of us that's just hearing what he said. We hear it, but we can't achieve it. Why? Because we don't see it. And then when we see it, if we're not careful, we'll allow the fears of our past to cause us to be stagnant, even in what we're seeing. We'll stay on our demand, and that's no different than stand on the path of Damascus, stand blind. And we could get comfortable. What you mean, Kofi? Yes, we could get comfortable being blind. You could get used to anything. And some of us have gotten used to being blind. And tonight's message, I believe if you don't take anything else from tonight's message, the message on tonight is this. You've been on Damascus Road too long. You've been walking around blind for too long. And the Spirit of the Lord is telling you on tonight, I'm trying to get your attention. And when you acknowledge that I am here and you acknowledge that I'm trying to get your attention, I will begin to remove the scales from your eyes. And you will begin to operate and walk in what I've called you to walk in. You will begin to walk in everything that I've given, every promise. You're not experiencing the full promises of God because you have been stuck, you've been blind, and you've been on Damascus Road. And God is calling you today to acknowledge that he's trying to get your attention. Acknowledge it, repent, and he will begin to remove the scales, and you will begin to see things in a different light. You will begin to see what he's saying. And not only begin to see what he's saying, but you will not have any fears from the past. See, after a period of time, Paul he forgot his past was no longer an issue. He wasn't persecuting Christians. His name changed. He wasn't Saul no more. So he wasn't dictated by his past. He was imperfect. He didn't have no fears. He seen what the Holy Spirit was saying. He seen it. And he began to walk in it, and he began to move on it. And as we know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And, I mean, Paul had been some places. So just because God called you and you begin to walk in it, don't think you ain't going to have troubles. Because Paul had some troubles. Paul had spent time in jail. Paul was bitten by sin. I mean, if you read throughout the New Testament, you'll find out Paul had some things he had to deal with. And so you're not going to stop dealing with things because you or being obedient. The troubles will still come, but the greater is the glory. Because when God gets the glory, the greater is the glory. Who you doing it for, the obedience, the prize at the end, that's the greater glory. To see all the people that will come into the knowledge of what you know, that's the glory. And don't think you won't be attacked. Don't think that the enemy won't sabotage, to come and sabotage what you believe or what your belief is or how you walk and what God's called you to do. There will be saboteurs. There will be people that want to put you in emotional and mental prison. There, you know, things will happen physically. But just know that God is still in control. He's still on the throne, and he still has a plan. And you, and he's just looking for us to be faithful. He's looking for us to hear what he says and then do it. Hear what he says and then do it. I mean, see what he says and then do it. That's what he's looking for, people that will begin to see what he says and then do it and not be confined by their past, because he's not confined by it. And not be worried about what you don't have, because he's already given the provision for it. And not be concerned about, being articulate enough. You know, you didn't go to speech school. You didn't go to college. You didn't get your doctorate. He's not concerned with all of that. Because the favor of God will take you places that a degree won't. The favor of God will take you amongst kings. The favor of God will open up doors that no man could shut. So don't be worried about the trivial stuff. Just acknowledge that God is trying to get your attention. And we acknowledge that by repenting. We acknowledge that by receiving. And then once we do that, God will begin to do the rest of the work. And the rest of the work is giving you the vision. And then he begins to give you the provision. You still got to step out. You still got to move. You still got to knock. You still got to ask. You still got to seek. That's what his word says. Knock, ask, seek. Ask and be given. Knock, the doors will be open. Seeking, you will find. You still have to do all that. There's still a process, but he's already prepared the way. He's already put people in place to help that vision come to pass. But if you're stagnant, you won't know that, because you won't be in the right place at the right time. You won't run into the right people. You won't know. If you're stuck in the house, if you're just sitting in the house waiting for God to do some miraculous thing, like take your roof off your house and speak to you, it's probably not going to happen. And it'll be another 10 years, another 15 years, and you'll still be blind, sitting on the road to Damascus, asking, is that you, Lord? Who is that? You, Lord? Yes, it's him. So now what? It is the Lord. So now what are you going to do? Are you ready to acknowledge that he's trying to get your attention? Are you ready to not be bound by your past? Are you ready to receive the provisions for the visions that he gives you? Are you ready to step out and do all that he has called you to do? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to take a moment. We have some time, and we want to take a moment to open up our lines. If you have a comment or a question about tonight, or maybe you just designate prayer, then dial 1 on your dial pad. That will let our team know that you have a question or a comment, or you just want prayer on tonight. We are going to keep the lines open for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to just begin to phase out on the show. We want to thank you for joining us on tonight. And we just pray that this is a little different, and we just pray that it blessed you. We pray that if you are having a Damascus experience, that experience is getting ready to see. We believe in with you that you are going to acknowledge that God is trying to get your attention, and that you will begin to walk in the fulfillment of your call, of the purpose that God has purposed for you from the foundation of the earth. He said it's already been predestined. Again, on the seventh day he rested. So everything he was going to do, everything that he's done was done. Amen. And so it's just time for you to begin to walk in it and line up according to his will and not your will. Amen. So again, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. Mr. Darius Elijah, I want to thank you for coming in and guest hosting with me. You read the word, and I thank you for reading the word. I thank you for being obedient, because you didn't have to say yes. You could have said no, but I thank you for being obedient. And is there anything you want to share in last thought about the message tonight?
All I can say is thank you for bringing me on and for me being able to read that message. I feel that there's a lot of, as you were able to say tonight, that there are a lot of points that can be brought up in the story of Saul, Paul. There's a lot that can be brought up with that. And I feel like that God doesn't make any mistakes, even though there will be plenty of times we feel like we'll question and say, Lord, you made a mistake, you chose the wrong person, or Lord, why did you send me to this job, or why did you send me to this place or that place, why did you put me with this person, or is this my next coming wife, or what are you doing, this doesn't seem right, and one of the things you just have to remember is that God doesn't make mistakes, that he always has a plan for everything he has. That everything that he does always has a repercussion that he has that has set in motion by him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. Well, I guess we will be tuning out on tonight. It doesn't look like we have too many questions and now we have a full house, but no questions. So, Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for the rhema word, Father God. Father God, we just pray that you would give us vision, that you would remove the scales from our eyes and give us vision to see what you are saying. Father God, and then give us the courage to walk it out, Lord. Father, I bind the spirit of fear that has so many people entangled and stagnant, Father. We rebuke and bind that spirit, Lord. And Father God, I call forth the spirit of courage, Father. I call forth the spirit of birthright, Father God. Birthright, Darius, give me the birthright, please, in the name of Jesus. What's the birthright?
Courage, hope, belief, faith, and trusting God as the source of your hope.
Amen. So we just pray that people will receive their birthrights and begin to walk in them and begin to trust you, Lord. Trust you as you begin to navigate them and move them, Father God, into the now, Father, so that they don't be confined by their past. So we just say thank you, Father, again for your word. And, Lord, we just love you, and we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. We hope that it was a word that you could take with you. We pray that it was being transforming, and we pray that you will join us again next Thursday as we continue to bring you practical principles unto perception based on the Word of God. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.